I thought, you know, that's like us. The way we think activates our faith. Because God has given to each a measure of faith, but we have to activate it. We have a part to play. We have to say to old thoughts, old cloaks, that you're not going to be a part of my life anymore. I'm going to do it the way the Bible says, and I'm going to think differently, and I'm going to hang on to my handlebars, but I'm going to think differently. And when you do, something activates. If you think poorly, it deactivates your faith.
Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. How many times have you prayed and prayed about something, but your prayers seem to bounce off the ceiling? Is God listening? Is He ever going to answer? Well, don't get discouraged, my friend. Don't give up. The answer is closer than you think. In a moment, the conclusion of a message entitled, "The Answer is Closer Than You Think." But we have a few extra minutes today, so join us for a time of worship.
To take a hold of the person's hand next to you on either side. We come together as the Hawaiian word is ohana, as a group of people that are brought together by God, and we do life together. We can't make each other immune from the setbacks, but we can walk with each other through them. There's a word that we say to one another often. It's the word aloha. And it's a common word. It means it's a greeting, it's a goodbye, but it's more than that. The etymology of that word, aloha, alo means to be in the presence of, Ha is for breath or life. So they use that word. But putting them together, when we greet one another, it's like we're saying, we commend you to be in the presence of the one who gives life. And when the missionaries came and told them about the Lord who is the God of life, and he brings life, he gives life, even from death he brings life, then aloha started to become a word with such greater meaning. And we commend you. We usher you into the presence of the life giver. And so as you say that to one another, it has a lot of meaning. It's a blessing. It's more than a greeting. It's a blessing. We're going to pray. Let's pray. Eko ma ko ma ko a iloko o kalani. E iano au e yesu e. E na na ulu ulu mai. Lord, we thank you for being our Heavenly Father. We're grateful for that. And Lord, we ask that your presence or your eyes would be upon us in this place, Lord Jesus. May your presence give life. Lord, where there is hurt, bring healing. Where there is sickness, bring health. Where there is an emotional darkness, bring light. Where there is hopelessness, bring hope. And Lord, we know that you're the one that invited us here. It's not just a theme of a service or a friend or a family. Ultimately, it will have been you that invited us here. And you would not invite us to a place wherein you don't have something very special for us. You invited us, didn't you, Lord? You use a family friend or a member, but it's you. Because you said, no man can come unto me unless the Father draws him. And so we respond to you. And through all the dances and through all of the singing, we're going to listen for your voice speaking to us words of life. Now, Lord, would you bless the one on our left and the one on our right? Bind us together as a family so that we can walk together and do life with each other. Thank you for that. And now, Lord, let your love, your aloha, be strong among us. Your presence, let it be strong here as we greet one another. In the matchless name of Jesus Christ, we pray and we each say, amen and amen and amen.
Here now is Pastor Wayne with the conclusion of the message, The Answer is Closer Than You Think.
Every problem you're ever going to face has already been faced by somebody in the Bible. And they've left clues behind as to how you can navigate those problems when you hit them, those dark times when you face them. My best friends are in the Bible, and so are yours. And they await your audience. They have things to share with you, light to shine upon some dark situations that you might be going through. But if you never visit them, their words will remain just in potential form, never to be heard. So we've got to visit the Word of God as often as you can. So here at New Hope, we have something called the SOAP Journal or the Life Journal that helps you work your way through the Bible. Can I encourage you to find out about that? There's a book written by an obscure author called The Divine Mentor up in our bookstore. It should have been a New York Times bestseller, but it didn't get past Springfield. But if you'd get that, that will help you to develop a daily time in the Word. And today, we're going to visit with Moses. Moses is in the middle of the desert, 3-day journey from Egypt. The people don't have water. Ever not drink water for 3 days? Gets you pretty thirsty. People are desperate. They begin to complain. They see an oasis up in the distance. They go to that, and the pool or the lake is toxic. Arsenic. Can't drink it. And they grumble. Let's get into the story here. I'll read a line and then the rest will come up on the board and we'll read it together. It says, then Moses led the people, and this is out of Exodus 15. He led the people of Israel away from the Red Sea, and they moved out into the desert of Shur, or the Sinai. And they traveled in this desert for 3 days without finding any water. Would you read it with me? Go. And when they came to the oasis of Marah, the water was too bitter to drink. So they called the place Marah, which means bitter. And then the people complained and turned against Moses. What are we going to drink? They demanded. So Moses cried out to the Lord for help. And the Lord showed him. He what? The Lord a piece of wood. Moses threw it into the water, and the water was made good to drink. The Lord what? Showed him. Did you know that that piece of wood that changed the water from bitter to sweet was right under their nose? They probably stepped over it a dozen times. But God didn't send him a magical stick. God didn't send him some divine rod or something that would change the water from bitter to sweet. He showed him. It didn't come by FedEx. It didn't come by DHL. It wasn't delivered by UPS from afar, foreign country, or Amazon Prime. He showed him. Did you know that the answer often is closer than you think? The people thought the answer was far away, so they were left with a bitter pool. Ever been there? Where you think it's impossible. The answer is far away. It's somewhere. I can't access it. And God would say to you, no, it's closer than you think. God's always the source of the answer. The question is, are we wanting to receive it? See, a lot of times our mind just says, no, not going to do it. And God is saying the answer is closer than you think. Change your mind and you'll change your future. He said that to the church of Ephesians, or the Ephesian church. He said, remember from where you have fallen, change your mind about it, and do again the deeds you did at first in the book of Revelation. And God is speaking the same thing to us. How's your thinking? You know, a lot of times we arrive at mara, or bitter. Situation doesn't turn out right, a health setback, someone says something that really rubs us raw, and what we expected, an oasis, turns out to be something bitter. And we sit there and we say, it's impossible. But God says, oh, no. Did you know that when you were created in the beginning of time, God knew the end from the beginning? He knew everything that you would encounter. And he took into account all of the bitter experiences you're about to face. He knew them all. How many of you know God knows everything from the beginning to the end about your life? Absolutely. All of the broken oases that you will encounter, the broken expectations, the desperate points of your life, all of the bitter moments, God took them all into account. But God says, I'm going to use these to grow your faith. Remember, salvation's free, everything else costs. But I'm going to need these to stay there for a bit, but I'm going to put like an eyedropper, the amount of faith necessary to overcome all of these. James chapter 1, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result. In other words, don't drop out too soon. Don't quit too soon. Let endurance have its perfect result so that you might be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. God says, my plan for you is that you be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. So these are here to test or actually build your faith. But you're going to need some strength. So in each of these, I'm going to put enough faith to overcome that. Book of Romans chapter 12 says it this way. Don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. Think so as to have sound judgment, for God has given to each person a measure of faith. In other words, he looks at this mountain and says, ooh, this is going to take a cup of faith. So he adds that in. Ooh, this one here, this is a big setback, 2 cups of faith. Over here, just a drop of faith. Over here, it's going to require 1/2 cup of faith. And he plans it all out. So you have everything you need to overcome that. Because salvation's free, everything else costs. And so as you go through that, God makes that faith available. I say to people, if you want mountain-moving faith, remember this. Mountain-moving faith always carries a pick. Because you have a part to play in it. You can give up too soon, or you can come out with a greater faith. How much do you want to grow in your faith? Can I encourage you, want God's best like nothing else, man. I remember a story of blind Bartimaeus. There's a blind guy sitting on the side of the road, and he hears a commotion going by, and he yells out, what's going on? And they say, Jesus of Nazareth, the carpenter, he's passing by. I've heard about him. He gives sight to the blind and he starts yelling, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." You know what the people around him say? "Shut up. You're making a ruckus. Quiet." What did he do? The Bible says he yelled out all the more, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus hears his cry, stops the entourage and says, "Bring that man here." The Bible says the man, all he had was a cloak. Remember, he's a blind beggar. The Bible says he throws his cloak aside, comes to Jesus, and the Lord says, "What would you like?" "Lord, if I could only see." God says, "Then be healed. Your faith has made you well." And he began to see. You see, the Lord actually honored this guy's intensity, a holy determination for something. So much so that he was willing to toss aside the cloak that he hung on to. That's the only thing he had in his possession. But he tossed that aside for something greater. Your spiritual growth and your spiritual worth is so precious that it warrants our best efforts. That man threw that cloak aside. You know, sometimes we want God's best, but we hang on to an old cloak. Something that's been with us for a long time. What's your cloak? Maybe there's something like your cloak that you need to throw aside to get God's best. Want God's best. Yeah, but this cloak here, it's like, throw it aside. What's your cloak? Is it an offense? Problem? Throw it aside. Do your part. You know, in my shop, I have this thing called JB Weld. It's glue. And because I glue some things together once in a while. And it's interesting, one tube is the adhesive portion, but the other part is actually that which activates the other one. That first part, if you just use that, it won't glue anything together. But once you put that other part in and mix it together, it activates it. And man, that thing hardens like steel. And I thought, you know, that's like us, the way we think activates our faith, because God has given to each a measure of faith, but we have to activate it. We have a part to play. We have to say to old thoughts, old cloaks, that you're not going to be a part of my life anymore. I'm going to do it the way the Bible says, and I'm going to think differently, and I'm going to hang on to my handlebars, but I'm going to think differently. And when you do, something activates. If you think poorly, it deactivates your faith. Let me bring it to a head. You know, we give up so quickly, but often it's right before God's about to show us the stick. I wonder how many of us miss God's best because we give up. The man's name is Henry Comstock. He lived between 1820 and 1870. He went to a place called Virginia City, which is just south of Reno, Nevada. There was a talk about gold. So as the gold rush started, he went over to Virginia City and began to pan for gold. He had a thing called a rocker. It's like a rocking, like a baby's bassinet that rocks, that they would put the sand from the creek in and it would sift that sand. Well, he got a few pieces of gold, but it was really discouraged because there was this bluish clay that would always muck up the rocker. He was getting pretty mad, this bluish kind of mud. So finally, some people came by and said, "Hey, we'll buy this area that you claimed as a settlement," because he had about 12 acres he had purchased and settled. And so he said, "There's nothing here. I give up. Impossible." Sold it for a pretty good amount, $11,000 for 12 acres. In those days, that was a lot of money. So he said, "That's good enough for me." He moved to Bozeman, Montana, when he heard that those that purchased his piece started digging out and found that the bluish mud that clogged up the rocker, that sifted stuff, was actually silver ore. And over the next few years, especially in about 1859, they had dug so much silver out of that 15 million pounds of silver was found, worth $17 billion. And then to boot, they kept digging and got out of that Comstock lode. They actually named this lode after Henry Comstock. 500,000 pounds of gold. Much of the gold in Fort Knox is from the Comstock lode. And when Henry Comstock heard about it, it discouraged him so much that he quit. His thinking was so poor that he actually grabbed his gun and shot himself. Such a sad ending to what could have been so good. I wonder how much of God's riches are there that we're so foreign to that we don't think he loves us. Why would you let me come into this situation, God? And our thinking goes bad and we deactivate faith. We don't understand the love of God, that he gave us faith for every obstacle. The potential is there to build our faith. Well, you don't love me, God. You don't love me. Why? Because it's so foreign. This is so stupid. I give up. And our thinking deactivates our faith. Would you remember this, that God loves you and me so much that everything he does because he loves us. Even allows us to go through obstacles because he's already given us the faith to overcome. And if you will, if you'll think right, you'll come through better, not bitter. Let me finish with this story. My earliest memory of my mom, who, by the way, passed away when I was in high school, and it was a very difficult, difficult time for me because my mom and I were very close. And I was about 7 years old, and I got extremely sick. We don't know why, but I got very, very sick, and doctors couldn't figure it out. And I went back home, and I started to get dehydrated to the point where my skin started looking pale, and my lips started to bleed because it was getting chapped so much. And I remember one day my mom, tears down her face, and said, I don't know what to do. But she saw my lips being so chapped. And she always wore pretty red lipstick. And I remember she picked me up like this and she gave me this long kiss. And then she took the lipstick on my lips and rubbed it all over. I was wondering why all my brothers came by and thought I was pretty weird that day with all of that lipstick on. My mom said, don't wipe it off. It'll save your lips from bleeding. And I think about it today. Maybe that's why I started playing with Barbie dolls, but I don't know. But you know, I think back on the immeasurable love of my mom, that when she kissed me with that long kiss, I thought, this is so weird. It's foreign. And then she rubbed her lipstick on my lips. She did that because of her love for me. And that's the only thing she knew that would protect my lips from bleeding. I always, you know, there's a lot of weird things that goes on, but I don't remember a ton of my mom, but I do remember that. And I remember after that event, I thought, my mom loves me so much, that it became a precious, precious memory to me. That might look weird to others, but it was an expression of her love. Listen, there's times you're gonna go through stuff that you're gonna think is really foreign, but it just may be an expression of God's love. He's provided everything for you. And when you do it right and start thinking biblically, you'll come through better, not bitter. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together. We're going to pray and then we'll sing our final song and then we'll let you go. It's going to be warm outside, so stay cool. Stay cool. Stay cool. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for our wonderful church. We just love you and love one another so much. Thank you for teaching us little by little, so that we'll become more and more like you. Help us to train our minds to think biblically. It's so easy to think carnally, think like the world, and default back to the way our brains were taught. But Lord, help us to renew the spirit of our mind. We want to do that again and again. So Lord, we ask your blessings, your guidance, as we go from this place, because we know that the most important part of the service is when we leave those doors. Have your way in us, Lord. Change us so we'll look more and more like you. We thank you for these things. In Jesus' name we pray. Can you say amen? Would you seal that with a clap offering?
You have just heard the conclusion of a message entitled, The Answer is Closer Than You Think, by Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope West in Eugene, Oregon. Thank you for listening. Until next time, remember these words from Pastor Wayne.
I thought, you know, that's like us. The way we think activates our faith. Because God has given to each a measure of faith, but we have to activate it. We have a part to play. We have to say to old thoughts, old cloaks, that you're not going to be a part of my life anymore.
Now for Pastor Wayne and all the family at New Hope, have an awesome day as you walk hand in hand with Jesus Christ. God bless you and aloha.